Tonight, I want to speak to you on the subject, Pharisees and Jews, a New Testament record. Pharisees and Jews, a New Testament record. What is the record of the New Testament regarding Pharisees and Jews? The only references that I have left out in my address tonight is a handful of references that make mention of the salvation or the conversion of certain Jews. For example, Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, and there were Jews, devout Jews from, you know, all these nations in Jerusalem, and Peter preached to them the gospel, and 3,000 were saved and baptized and added to the church. And all those people in Acts 2 in Jerusalem were Jews. And there's a handful of other references in the book of Acts regarding the conversion of Jews in various locations. Okay? Those are the only ones that I have left out. Everything else I am referring to is simply a record in the New Testament regarding the Pharisees and Jews. So I'm going to have very limited commentary tonight. I'm not going to be taking a verse and then expounding on it. I'm going to be going verse by verse by verse by verse by verse throughout the New Testament, and let's see what the record is. We hear a lot of people talk about this subject, but very few have an idea of what the actual historical record is in the New Testament regarding this subject. So when I'm finished tonight, you are going to see very clearly what the record is in the New Testament regarding Pharisees and Jews. Okay, are you with me? All right, so I know you won't be able to keep up verse by verse, but you know, try to catch as many of these verses as you can. And if you're taking notes, believe me, I'll give you a lot of references. And of course, you'll be able to get this video later. And I just want to say, too, before we get started, to all of you here in the audience and to those of you that are watching online, we are now carrying and promoting Michael Hoffman's, who's a brilliant Christian scholar, who's written a lot of material and a lot of books, and this one is a classic, one that I think is must reading for every Christian. It's called Judaism's Strange Gods, and you can get that here at the fellowship, or you can get it online if you're watching. You can go up to the store link at the top of the page and find this book, Judaism's Strange Gods. From the back cover, let me just introduce the book to you. In Judaism's Strange Gods, Christian scholar Michael Hoffman documents his provocative thesis that Judaism is not the religion of the Old Testament, but the newly formalized belief system of the Pharisees, which arose in Babylon with the commitment of the formerly oral tradition of the elders to writing, in the wake of the crucifixion of Israel's Messiah and the destruction of the temple. Basing his findings on authoritative Judaic sources, Hoffman demonstrates that Judaism is a man-made religion of tradition and superstition, which represents the institutionalized nullification of biblical law and doctrine. Liberating the reader from the accumulated shackles of decades of misinformation, this book shows that Judaism's God is not the God of Israel, but the strange gods of Talmud and Kabbalah and the racial self-worship they inculcate. Christian bookstores are packed with tomes purporting to unmask the religion of Islam, but not one slim volume will be found delving into the depravities of Orthodox Judaism. Judaism's Strange Gods corrects that imbalance with its fidelity to biblical truth and the historic witness of the church. It's a tremendous book. Here are a few of the chapter topics. Judaism's attack on the prophets and patriarchs, lying and bribery, contents of the Babylonian Talmud, warrant for the murder of Gentiles, anti-black racism, Christians in the Talmud, Judaism and reincarnation, Judaism and abortion, calendar and holy days, child molestation and homosexuality, and a whole lot more. Those are only a few samples from the chapters in this book. So I really, really urge you to buy the book, Judaism's Strange Gods by Michael Hoffman. Now, what we're doing tonight is we are giving you a New Testament record of what God says in His Word on this subject. So this is not a matter of opinion. This is not someone said this and someone said something else. This is the historical record of the New Testament relative to Pharisees and Jews. Okay, here we go. Mark chapter 7 and verse 3. And as you turn and as you look and so forth, please listen to these scriptures with a real heart and a focus, because you're going to hear some profound things here in this New Testament record. Mark chapter 7, verse 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Holding the tradition of the elders. Those are the oral writings that became what we now know as the Talmud. John 5:10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He had just been healed, and he got up and was carrying his bed in joy, and the Jews said, it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Verses 15 through 18 of the same chapter. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things. What things? Healed this man on the Sabbath day. They were going to kill him because he healed the man on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh here hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. By the way, all these verses are taken from the King James text. John chapter 6 and verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. John chapter 7 and verse 13. Howbeit no man spake publicly or openly of him, of Jesus, for fear of the Jews. They were afraid to speak openly about Jesus for what the Jews would do to them if they did. John chapter 8, verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan? Speaking to Jesus. A Samaritan, half Jew, half Gentile. In other words, he was illegitimate. And hast a devil? You are demon-possessed? They accused him. John 8, verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. John chapter 9, verses 18 through 22. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight. And they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? And then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. John chapter 9, verses 28 through 34. Then they, the Jews, reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether, these would be the Pharisees, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. John 10, verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, Christ. John 11, verse 8. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? John chapter 11, verse 53 through 57. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. This would be the Pharisees and their Jewish allies. To put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye, that ye will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he was, he should show it, that they might take him to kill him. John 18:12. Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Remember, this is the Garden of Gethsemane. These were not Roman guards. These were Jewish guards. The band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. John 19:7. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Speaking, of course, to Pilate. John chapter 19, verses 12 through 16. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him, Jesus, therefore unto them, the chief priests, to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Acts chapter 9, verse 23. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, one of Christ's disciples. Acts 12, 1 through 3. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, that means beheaded him. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, He proceeded further to take Peter also. Acts 13, verse 45 through 50. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, meaning you the Jews, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. Acts 14, 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. The Jews stirred up the Gentiles. Acts 14, verses 5 through 7. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth about. And there they preached the gospel. Acts 14, verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Acts 17, 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Acts 17, 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Acts 18, 12. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. Acts 20, verse 3. And there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, Paul, as he was about to sail unto Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. The Jews laid wait for him. For what purpose? To kill him. Acts 23, 12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Acts 23, 27. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. Acts 23, verse 30. And when it was told me that how the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. Acts 24, 5. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, in a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, meaning the Christian brethren. Acts 24:9. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so, the accusations brought against him. Acts 24:27. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came unto Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound in prison. Acts 25:2. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him. Acts 25:7. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Acts 26:2. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, Paul saying, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Acts 26:7. Unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Acts 26:21. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Acts 28:17. And it came to pass that after 3 days Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Acts 28:19. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. Acts 2:36. Let therefore the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. The words of Simon Peter on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 21. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Acts 7:43, words of Stephen. Yea, ye took up the tabernacle, ye, children of Israel, you took up the tabernacle of Molech, and the star of your God, Remphan. figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Speaking of the Old Testament prophet and his words of judgment upon Israel. Acts 7, verses 51 through 59. Again, we're still quoting Stephen here. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have not been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Acts 11:12. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, the Jews, contended with him, opposed him. Titus chapter 1 and verse 10, and I'm also going to read verse 11. Titus chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, the Jews, verse 11, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Matthew 3:7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Of course, that would be John. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 34. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of devils. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 2. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Matthew 12, 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, Jesus, how they might destroy him. Matthew 12, 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Matthew 15, verses 3 through 12. Matthew 15, verses 3 through 12. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? You know what he refers to now, right? When he says tradition. For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of non-effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet, prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Matthew 16, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Matthew 16, 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Matthew 16, 11 and 12. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Tempting him. Matthew 21, verses 31 through 46. Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you, you Pharisees. The publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat him. Beat one and killed another. And stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first. And they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandman saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will not let his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in his eyes. In our eyes, excuse me. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, you Pharisees, you Jews. The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, speaking of himself. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. That when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 15. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not leave the other undone. Verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets, garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Mark chapter 3, verse 6. And the Pharisees went forth, and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him. Jesus, of course, how they might destroy him. Luke 11, verses 42 through 44. But woe unto you, Pharisees! Ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other done. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Luke 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Luke 13, 31. The same day, there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart, for Herod will kill thee. John 11, 57. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it that they might take him. John 12, 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Our last verse, John 18, 3. Judas, then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. This is the New Testament record of the Pharisees and the Jews. And once again, I encourage you, I urge you to get Michael Hoffman's book, Judaism's Strange Gods. He will explain in great detail many of the things that we have just heard tonight in the New Testament scriptures regarding the Pharisees, and he will show you, and I believe after you're done reading this book, you will be certainly convinced that Judaism is a man-made religion of tradition and superstition. Judaism's God is not the God of Israel, but it's the strange God of Talmud. Jesus warned us. The scriptural record in the book of Acts warns us. The teaching of the epistles warn us regarding the religion of the Pharisees and of the Jews. That, regardless of what you hear, that is the New Testament record of the Pharisees and of the Jews. May God bless it to your heart. Let's all stand for a word of prayer.